I want to welcome back to the big show. I think this is the fifth time he's been on with us. He's going to be at the Moore Theater here in Seattle on September 13th. You can get tickets at Ticketmaster.com to see Adam Carolla. Adam, great talking with you again.
Thanks for having me back on the show.
Absolutely. I don't know if I ever told you this, but I got hired here at the radio station 24 years ago. And I had to go down to Tacoma on Sunday, so I'd have about an hour 15 drive. And you were just starting your radio Loveline gig with Dr. Drew. And it was on Sunday nights on one of FM stations here. And we were starting an FM talk station. And I was badgering our program director to, you got to get this Loveline show. It's really good. You must have just been a kid when you were doing that. You're still a young man. That was 24 years ago.
Oh, you flatter me. Yeah, I started, well, you know, Loveline was on Sunday nights out in L.A., just Sunday nights, for a long time. And I, as a longtime L.A. resident and a K-Rock radio fan, would listen to Loveline like any other fan would do back in the day. So I was a fan of Loveline before I took over as a host on Loveline. And then at some point, I don't even know. I mean, I know how it happened, but I mean, it is kind of crazy that a guy who was working on a construction site and a fan of Loveline would somehow end up being the host of Loveline. And then once I became a host, it just took off into syndicated markets all over the place. And the next thing you know, it's number one. And we got all kinds of, you know, we got all kinds of, markets everywhere, and it was just kind of crazy. And it was just this, I would have pinched myself or blinked, but I didn't even have time.
Yeah. And then you guys get the nightly, wasn't it nightly on MTV?
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, so that's pretty meteoric, because I know all the gigs you worked before you got into that, and you were just a blue-collar guy. And then all of a sudden, MTV, when MTV was probably at its hottest, you got the nightly show there. And that is pretty heady stuff. You seem to have handled it okay. You came out of it okay, it seems.
Well, you know, I tell people the cement in my brain died a little. I should say dried, but now I think I made a Freudian slip and said died. But the cement in my brain dried a long time ago, and you could no longer carve your initials into it, which is by the time I got to show business, by the time I had any success at all, by the time I had made a nickel, I was already permanently humbled by my upbringing, my parents, my past, all the horrible jobs I had. So it's not like you were going to get some, you know, Corey Feldman out of control child star syndrome out of me. I wasn't going the Danny Bonaducci, Corey route.
Right.
I was 31 years old before I made a nickel. And of course, the guys who I had around me back then, when I did finally have some success, weren't exactly out of control junkies. One partner was Dr. Drew, and the other partner was Jimmy Kimmel. These are the soberest, sanest, hardest working. I mean, these guys are in show business, but they have a, you know, mentality of school teacher meets an accountant, meets an airline pilot. You know what I mean? Like that's how those guys are wired. They weren't like, screw that guy, let's go drink, or you tell them you're not coming back unless they double the money, let's do some coke.
Right.
They weren't that way at all. They were like, hey, I don't want to be late. We're going to get into trouble.
Right.
Like Jimmy and Dr. Drew are like the only two celebrities I've ever met who were scared of getting into trouble because we were late.
Right. Yeah, that's pretty good partnership. I know you still do stuff with Dr. Drew. I'm still seeing new stuff on YouTube with him and all that. You have to keep up on the news for your podcast. I wanted to talk with you about a couple topical things here. I thought since you hosted the Man Show, it'd be good to ask you. The Miss America pageant, they got rid of the swimsuit competition, and Sunday night they had record low ratings. Nobody wants to watch it anymore. And I was seeing anti-Trump speeches. Women were talking about water quality in Flint, Michigan. I was thinking, who wants to sit and watch that? But I wanted to get your take on all of that.
I mean, look, I don't want to sound uptight, but politicizing, you know, Miss America competitions, the Oscars, the Emmys, the Tonys, Aretha Franklin's funeral, you know, John McCain's, the notion that every time there's a hot mic and it's open, you have to lean into it and express yourself politically is kind of getting old for anybody who's at the event who actually wants to just enjoy the event. I mean, if you think about it, if you went to a restaurant and some guy got hold of the mic that's at the stand where you check in and you're at the Cheesecake Factory and said, Johnson, party of four, oh, and Trump is a lying douchebag, so you would go, well, wait a minute, what's this about? And the person would go, well, I'm just expressing my opinion.
Right.
And you'd go, yeah, but we're here to eat. And they'd go, yeah, you can eat. I'm just going to give my opinion. And then you'd go, well, wait a minute. I came out to eat. I came out here to have dinner with my family. Yeah, you can have dinner, but you're changing the experience. And that's what I'm saying. Miss America competition, Aretha Franklin, you know, funeral, whatever, Super
yeah.
Bowl,
yeah.
Emmys, Oscars, whatever. Here's the deal. If I want to watch the Oscars or I want to mourn Aretha Franklin's death, then that's what I'd like to do. If you interrupt it with political rhetoric, it is taking away from what it is I am trying to do. So if I'd like to watch an NFL game, I'd like to watch an NFL game because I don't want to think about politics for a few hours on a weekend. And if I want to watch the Grammys, it's because I don't want to think about this. But if I want to go to the Cheesecake Factory, I have the exact same state of mind, which is I just want to go out to my dinner with my family.
Yeah.
So you could use the same logic. Well, why isn't the hostess at the Cheesecake Factory allowed to express herself?
I know, it's crazy. Yeah, that's a great analogy. We are talking with Adam Carolla, and he's going to stick with us the rest of the hour. So, Adam, we will get right back to you. He's going to be at the Moore Theater day after tomorrow, Thursday night. You can still get tickets at Ticketmaster.com. And our conversation with Adam Carolla will continue. Got a lot more stuff I got to talk with him about next here on the Dory Monson Show. Adam Carolla is with us. He will be at the Moore Theater this Thursday, day after tomorrow, the 13th. You can get tickets at Ticketmaster.com. And I love talking with you, Adam, about topical stuff. The other thing that's been driving me crazy, my wife and I have been married for 31 years. We have three daughters. I coached high school girls basketball for 10 years. I'm watching the Serena Williams thing at the U.S. Open and hearing everybody in the media calling it sexist and racist and all of that. And I wanted to know what you thought about the whole Serena thing.
Well, I mean, obviously we're in some sort of weird territory, which is I have twins. I have boy-girl twins. They're both 12 years old.
Yeah.
I have to discipline the girl, and I have to discipline the boy. And if the boy gets out of line, he gets disciplined, although he rarely does. But if the girl gets out of line, and she often gets out of line, then she needs to be disciplined. If she called it sexist, it would be impossible to discipline her. There's just a set of rules. Now, if I disciplined her constantly and never disciplined him and said it's because you're a girl, well, then it is sexist. But if it's just, look, if a white kid gets suspended and a black kid gets suspended at school for the same activity, then it's not racist. If 100 black kids get suspended to every one white kid who gets suspended and zero Asian kids get suspended, if it's for the exact same infringement, if it's for the exact same activity,
right,
then it's still not racist. It just means more black kids are doing things to get suspended than Asian kids are. It's still not racist. When it becomes racist is when the white kid punches the teacher and the black kid left his cell phone on and you suspend the black kid and you don't suspend a white kid. That's when it becomes racist. As long as the activity meets the punishment, as long as everything's consistent, then it's not racist.
Yeah.
If a white person throws a tantrum on a tennis court and somebody takes away a point, male or female or whatever, then it's not. So the question is are you doing something? It's not, do you take away a point or do you get suspended or whatever it is? Are you incarcerated?
Yeah.
It's are you incarcerated more than another group who did the exact same crime?
Right.
Not are you incarcerated more?
Yeah. Now, in this, this official punished four guys for the same thing in the last several months. I'm with you on that. One other topical thing, since you are near the highest echelon of showbiz, since Les Moonves has now had to resign from CBS, I was reading some of the stuff this morning that he did. And, he'd pour a glass of wine for a woman in his office, leave the office, take off his pants, and then come back in aroused, according to the Ronan Farrow report. And I'm trying to figure out, because you've spent a lot of time thinking about the mentality of men, a guy who just through the sheer power of his position could get any woman he wants, besides the fact that he's married to a beautiful woman. I'm trying to figure out the mentality of guys who do stuff like that and at the risk of blowing up their lives.
Well, the thing about the blowing up your lives part, that Dr. Drew always says that the definition of addiction is continued abuse in the face of consequences. So it's like you can say, why would that guy keep drinking or doing cocaine? He had such a great job at the bank and he had a great family. Why would he jeopardize it? And it was because he was addicted. Because some of these guys, I think, have an addiction. And when you have an addiction, it's like, hey, Jared of Subway, why would you do these things? You had the greatest gig in the world. All you had to do was eat a Subway sandwich and get paid every year. Like, why would you do this? Well, some of it falls under the heading of addiction.
Yeah.
And others, you can, the guy's just a jerk. But I think when you've been in charge for that long, when you have power like that, you become like Saddam Hussein. You become like the leader of a banana republic or something. These guys, after 30 years of unbridled power and 30 years of never hearing the word no, you just don't. You start thinking you can do whatever you want. You know what I mean? Like, life keeps you, if you're a roofer, life keeps you in check every single day.
Right.
Every single day. If
yeah.
you work at a McDonald's, every single day you're humbled. Every single day you're put in your place. Every single day you're kept in check. If you run a successful network for 30 years of everyone kissing your ass and never hearing the word no, you start acting in ways that you would never act, that the rest of us can't act because we're kept in check by life.
What you're telling me is the cement has not hardened in his brain.
Or maybe he was always a douche. I don't know.
Yeah. We're talking with Adam Carolla. He is going to be at the Moore Theater coming up September 13th. Tickets at Ticketmaster.com. Last thing I want to ask you about, you're in a movie that's coming out next spring that I'm really fascinated by because it's something I talk about a lot on my show, No Safe Spaces. Because college campuses, they used to be the place for radical ideas and for dissent. And now there is all this talk about diversity, as long as you think like me. And now it is so monothematic. And anybody who dares stray from the flock is, expelled from school if they had their way. I'm really fascinated. So tell me a little bit about the movie and why you're doing it.
Movie that I'm making with Dennis Prager, who's a talk show host and the guy behind PragerU, and he's a very interesting guy, and we've been friends for a while. And so some of the guys who make movie producers came up to us and said, do you want to make a movie together? And I said, I love working with Dennis. And we just started shooting this movie in earnest about a year and a half ago, and we're now getting ready to release it. It's really good. It's really strong. There's lots of interesting voices in it from the right and the left, and everyone's giving their take on the same subject.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing it because it's become crazy how the campuses have all become. All right, Adam Carolla, he'll be at the Moore Theater coming up on, well, it's just day after tomorrow, isn't it? September 13th on Thursday night. Tickets still available at Ticketmaster.com. And have a great show here in Seattle, Adam. It's always great talking with you.
Thanks for having me again. I appreciate it.
You betcha. Adam Carolla joining us. Love to hear your thoughts on any and all of this. You can text us at the Online Trading Academy text line 98973. Lots more straight ahead here on the Dory Monson Show.